It's wonderful to be in worship here today. As the season of Lent begins, I'm reminded, and I can't remember which theologian said this, but he said that if you miss the season of Lent, you have missed a year of spiritual development. And so this is our opportunity to really draw near to God during this season. We have bare branches here adorning our altar area, just as a reminder that there is a lot that has to be let go of and a lot needs to die away in order for us to live in the full life of Christ. When Adam and Eve ate from the apple and perfect relationship with God and his creature was broken, there needed to be a way to reconcile that relationship. Atonement is the term that we use to talk about the way that we're reconciled to God. Atonement. And if you take that apart, it's at one ment, so at one with God. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement for the Jewish tradition. This was the day that the sins of the people were pinned to the back of a goat, the scapegoat, and the scapegoat was sent out into the wilderness to atone for the sins of the people. It was a day of prayer and a day of fasting, just as the season of Lent is for Christian, a season of prayer and a season of fasting. So during this Lent, our sermon series is going to cover five atonement theories. This is not an exhaustive education on atonement. There are several different ideas about the way that God reconciles us to him through the cross of Christ. Some of us have been in church all of our lives and we are numb to the meaning of the cross and the meaning of the crucifixion in our lives. And some of us are new to the journey and wanting to learn more about what the cross means. My prayer is that when Holy Week is upon us this year, that we will walk into it with every fiber of our being anticipating the resurrection with new, meaningful perspective. So this morning, today our atonement theory that we are going to cover is called Christ the Victor. And Christ our Victor restores us to right relationship with God. I am going to be using lection through this sermon series. And today's lection gospel reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And you can follow along on the bulletin if you like. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." And the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all the authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So a king was in love with a woman who lived in a nearby village. He'd seen her as she went about her work in the village, and day after day, watching her from afar, he wanted her. because he was a king, he knew he could have just about anything he wanted. But he also knew that if he went to proclaim his love to her, she would receive him because he was the king. And he didn't want to force her hand in the relationship, and he struggled with what to do. His preference was that she would choose him out of love. Finally, one day, he snuck out of the castle without a horse or a footman. He dressed in common clothes, and he showed up at her door, and she let him in. Each day, he would arrange to get away from his duties without being noticed so that he could visit her and give her a chance to get to know him. Soon, she fell in love with this common man. It wasn't until months later, when he was sure of his love, of her love for him, that he revealed his true identity. Luke's gospel this morning invites us to see a fully human Jesus. Jesus there in the wilderness, fasting and hungry, where the devil tempts him to make bread from stones, which of course he could do, but Jesus, in his humanness, refused. The devil tempted Jesus to take on the power of God all for himself. But Jesus again refused to disclose his divine ability. Jesus refused to exploit his divine relationship with the Father, accepting instead the will of God. And it says, after his time in the wilderness, that the devil left Jesus for a time. This text, which begins our Lenten season, already foreshadows the events in Jerusalem when the devil eventually enters Judas. In the wilderness, Jesus demonstrated his choice, the way that he would be God, the way that he would win over the hearts of women and men in the world. That way would be to reject power and glory and join in solidarity with the suffering in our world. He was our king coming to visit in the clothing of a common man. Jesus' victory was claimed through what the world perceived as loss. Now, Jesus' time in the wilderness is always a good doorway for us spiritually as we begin Lent. It reminds us of what we are called to do: fasting, seeking justice, turning toward God. It's part of what we do as Christians during Lent. Lent is our time to recognize that God alone gives bread and that God alone gives power. So this season is about acknowledging our own limitations. It's about acknowledging our humanness. It's about acknowledging our sin. It's about acknowledging the collective sin of the world that we live in, the collective sin of our culture, of our government, of our society, of our educational system, of our capitalism, and yes, even of our church. Sin is not just what we do. Sin is also something that is sometimes done to us. And sin binds us. It holds us in. Sometimes it's a struggle to forgive while we are held captive and we are held in by things like addictions, by things like the difficulty in dealing with the economics of today's world. Sometimes it's hard for us to forgive when we are held in by our own guilt or our own self-loathing. And the most important thing that we can do during Lent, the choice that we need to make during Lent, is to cry out to God. To cry out to God rather than trying to manage this life, to manage this world by manipulation and by our own power, but to cry out to God for that power. This is an essential part of our holiness, this crying out to God when we are bound by sin, crying out to God to release us. The problem with human nature is that we believe that we can do better than God in making our lives happy and holy and whole. If we trusted God, truly, each of us trusted God, we would stop trying to make ourselves happy. And instead, we would be satisfied with holiness. We'd be satisfied with trusting God to deliver us to places of promise. Some 2,500 years ago, a small group of slaves cried out to God. They did just that. They were suffering through the hardships placed on their backs by an oppressive system. And God heard their cries. This comes from the Exodus story 2, chapter 24. It was God who then chose a leader for those slaves, an unlikely leader. Moses was not a particularly faithful man. I think at the time of his call from God, at the time of the burning bush, he was still trying to figure out his own identity. He'd grown up in a household outside of his true family, and his anger and his confusion about that, when he realized that he was one of those, like the slaves who had been working in Egypt, gave way for him to murder. He was not particularly self-controlled. Moses had no power of his own, and God used him to deliver slaves away from their bondage. I will never forget the first time that I saw the Ten Commandments. Anyone else remember the first time that you saw that movie? I was a teenager then, and we were on a medical missionary trip out of the country. We were actually on an island in the Caribbean. And the movie was playing downtown. The entire village flocked to that movie house that night and filled it. And when the Hebrew slaves were delivered through the Red Sea, the shouts of victory in that place were deafening. A victorious roar rose out of that village. The entire building was moving that night. Well, since that time, and several more viewings of that movie, one question remains. God's victory through the Red Sea cost lives for the Egyptians. The Egyptians suffered and died. When God wins, does it mean that others need to die? It doesn't take much to question further. Do innocent people work in oppressive government, businesses, and social systems today? And who are the slaves today? Are those who have lost any freedom working three jobs to make ends meet, to feed their families and pay their taxes? Are they our new slaves? Do CEOs have it any better? Or are they too caught up in a system they cannot break free from? Is money the power that we believe can help free us from oppression? Who are we crying out to? What do we believe about God's ability to free us from difficulty now? Do others have to die in order for some to be free? Each of the ways that we will consider atonement during Lent, each of them have something very meaningful for us to carry. But each of these theories of atonement will also have something that can be misused. Christ the Victor is a decisive way to look at the cross as accomplishing a decisive victory over forces of evil and oppression. Christ the Victor, victorious over sin and death, releasing all the captives so that we are given freedom to live fully and to love fully. What Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church was that death had been swallowed up in victory, that God gives victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The idea of atonement that has been the liberty, this idea of atonement has been an important part of the liberating seed for oppressed people today, especially third world poor people who are oppressed by corrupt governments. But unfortunately, the misuse of this idea has also been used to justify the destruction of evil people. In Nazi Germany, the people considered evil were innocent. This is the image of atonement that is misused when people say that God destroys those who have it coming to them by their evil living, when God sends hurricanes and tsunamis and earthquakes. Because of the reality of evil and oppression that we see today, many argue against the value of viewing Christ as victor. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Christ gives victory to all that holds us captive, that is within us. Christ gives victory to all that holds us captive, that is within us. And Christ opens up new possibilities for us to live freely, to live reconciled to God. The way Christ is to be victor for the whole world happens as we begin to live freed and forgiven lives, and others see that they can make that possibility for themselves as well. We repeat this victory over and over and over again, and yes, even then, entire cultures and entire nations, entire governments can be saved. This Lent, may our daily prayer be to cry out to God to release us and others from all that holds us captive. May we cry out to God to bring victory over the strongholds that keep us from loving God and loving others. May we cry out for help in always choosing God first, so that we can contribute to the release of all people. Remember, God hears our cries. God in Christ came so that we might be released from oppressive systems. Both the oppressed and the oppressors gain release through Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? Both the oppressed and the oppressors gain release through Christ. And we must strive to understand that. We learn in cases of abuse and child abuse or domestic abuse that those who are abused are most often the ones who then become the abusers. Christ came to provide a picture of the power of love. And love is not what we take from others. Love is what we give to others. And the cross stands out as our radical symbol of giving love to others, giving ourselves. And if we are truly all in this Christian journey, in this faith journey, if we are truly all in, and I mean wholly, our whole selves and our holy selves, if we are truly in with God, keeping God first, then I believe that God brings victory for us all. Because Christ was with God in the beginning, when we consider the Red Sea deliverance through the mind of Jesus Christ, we see that God was victorious over the system of domination that was holding a crying people captive. And Christ is victorious today in systems that hold us captive. Rather than co-opting our lives for something less than what God intends, we need to cry out for God to deliver us. Rather than coming up with some new system, we need to be a holy and set apart people. The ancient church witness, written as it's written in the first letter of John in the fifth chapter, says that the one who defeats the world is the one who believes that Jesus is God's Son. The one who defeats the world is the one who believes that Jesus is God's Son. Our faith gives victory. Trusting in God's power, inviting God into our lives, our whole lives, becomes the victory of Christ for others. When Jesus left the wilderness, it says that he began his ministry in Galilee, the place he chose to begin to share God's love for the world. And in Hebrew, the word Galil means circle. Galilee was encircled by non-Hebrew nations. It was surrounded. Because it was a fertile region, olives and grapes and figs and walnuts and oaks and cypress all grew there, and it was also highly populated. And he began in this place where wholeness and goodness could become the root that would extend out in circles, reaching the lives of all of those he touched. There in the wilderness, Jesus was tempted to turn stones into bread, and instead he became the bread for others, feeding the hungry wherever he went. And in the wilderness, Jesus was tempted to use his power, and instead he refused political power so that he could focus on injustice and mercy in the kingdom of God. Jesus refused to jump off that temple to see if angels might save him and became the one who saved the world from the cross in confidence of God's redeeming grace. Jesus' victory over the powers of evil won the love of God for the whole world. The king who came in common clothing did not want to take from us. He wanted to give to us, and what he gave was, is, and ever shall be the gift of love, the gift of reconciliation for the whole world. Amen.